Good morning. Good morning. All right. I think some of you haven't seen each other in quite a while. That's good. Well, welcome here, everybody. Looks like some of us are gone camping or on vacation, but it's good to see many of you here. This morning in our women's Sunday school class, Morgan and Carla presented us with some things that Morgan had learned from her spiritual formation class on different spiritual disciplines. And one of the things we did at the end of the class was we prayed Psalm 23. And that was a very moving and powerful experience. I hope many of you have been spending time with Psalm 23. I know it's our memory verse, and many of you have memorized it many years ago. But it's helpful to spend time with that psalm, even if you're very familiar with it, because as you sit with it, God can show you some new things in that psalm. I forgot, we're supposed to go through announcements first. Let's do that. Take a look at our announcements. Surgery date has been set for Nettie Ginter, the beginning of August there, and so we want to spend some time in prayer for her and her family today. It's a big moment in a person's life and a big experience. I met Tim Weeb yesterday, and he's recovering from his biopsy. He was up and walking around and still waiting to hear about the results of his biopsy, but the doctors told him from just observing the biopsy, it didn't look like the worst kind of cancer. So he's hopeful and waiting to find out when he'll be having surgery and chemo and all of those things. That family has had a lot of hard things in their life, and this is one more on top of everything else. So let's uphold that family in prayer. Next Sunday, we will not be having a church service here. We're invited to come and worship together at the Sunflower Festival there. The church council has decided that every other year we will worship at the Sunflower Festival. On alternating years, we'll worship at the service at the Winkler Harvest Festival. So this year it's the Sunflower Festival's turn. So we won't be having a service here, but you're invited to join everyone at the Sunflower Festival worship service next Sunday. Rudy and I are going to be gone the next three Sundays. We'll be leaving next Sunday afternoon to visit our children in Vancouver. So we'll be gone for a few weeks. We'll be visiting a few other family relatives along the way, and we're really looking forward to it. We're hoping we won't be driving through too much smoke on the way. There's an announcement in our bulletin that Mennonite Disaster Service is inviting us to pray for the people in British Columbia who've lost their homes to the fires there, and inviting us also to give financial donations to help with some of the work that's being done there. Our Genesis House shelter bin is in its final week, I think, today. So if you have anything you want to leave to donate in that bin, that would be helpful. I think it will be leaving today. Are there other announcements? Esther, did you have an announcement?
It's a bit far in advance, but I just want to give you a heads up that the Ladies' Sunday School class will be doing winter Bible study based using Beth Moore's Bible study on the Psalms of Ascent. I'm really excited about an in-depth study of Psalms after we do a taste of it over here all summer. So anybody who's graduated to whatever age, all the women are welcome to join us. Think about that. Books have been ordered, and I'll get some more information into the bulletin soon. Christina and I have started doing some studying and doing some prep work, and it looks like an awesome study. So study on Psalms for the ladies.
Are there any other announcements? For a call to worship, I'd like to read the passage in our bulletin from Isaiah 40, and then I'd like to pray the 23rd Psalm with all of you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Would you bow with me in prayer? Thank you, God, that you are our shepherd, that we know that we will not be in want. We have everything we need. You make us lie down in green pastures to rest. You lead us beside quiet waters. You restore our souls. You guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. You are God with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil, and our cups are overflowing. Surely your goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Good morning. Let's begin our worship in song this morning by acknowledging our God, who takes care of us, who loves us, who leads and who guides us. So I'd invite you all to rise together, please, and let's begin by singing I Owe the Lord a Morning Song, number 479, and then we'll go into the chorus step by step.
And I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
You may be seated.
For the ushers to come forward to take the offering, please. During our prayer time, I'm going to have some pauses where I invite you to pray silently. Can we bow for prayer? Lord, you have searched us, and you know us. You know everything about us, and there's nowhere that we can escape your presence. We acknowledge our need for you and confess that you are Lord of all there is. Thank you that your love never gives up on us. We thank you for your power to heal, and we bring before you those who need your healing touch. We thank you for your compassion and comfort. And we lift up to you those in our midst who are on a journey of grieving the loss of loved ones. We thank you that your presence reaches far and wide. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are serving you in faraway places. We pray for your peace and your protection over those who've lost homes to the fires in British Columbia. We give you thanks, Lord, for each generation, young and old, in our church family, and we ask that you give us a spirit of unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Father, again, that your love never gives up on us. Amen. Oh, it's time for the children's story. I invite the children to come forward.
Hello, here we go. Can you guys come a little bit closer this way? I feel very far away from you. And we're going to try very hard this morning to behave ourselves. So, I have a question. When you need help with something, who do you go to for help? Who helps you? Who helps you? Who helped you with breakfast today? Nobody? Nobody had breakfast. Who helped you with your shoes this morning? Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad help you, right? Grandma and Grandpa help you. Sometimes your brother and your sister help you. And who else helps you? Who helps Mom and Dad? Who? Oh, okay. Oh, does God help Mom and Dad? Does God help you? Yeah? I want to tell you a little bit of a story today. And it's a true story. And it's about my little girl. Well, she's not a little girl anymore, but she was a little girl. And when she was probably maybe like 10, we went on just a little tiny trip to a place called Portage. And we stayed in a hotel there. And my little girl liked to take everything along with her on these trips. And what she loved the most when she was 4 and 5 was something called Beanie Babies. Lindsay, have you ever heard of a Beanie Baby? Yes? Yeah? It's like little stuffed animals. And she would carry her arms just full because there was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 of them. And she would carry them everywhere she went. And so she had to take them with to the hotel. And we were busy in the swimming pool area. And she, of course, had to take, we couldn't just leave them in the hotel room. We had to take them out to the table so they could watch her swim. And so they did that. But then, you know, sometimes we were with our whole family and you kind of get busy. And all of a sudden she thought of it. Where are my Beanie Babies? Where did I leave them? So we went back and we checked on the table where we'd left them and they were not there. This was terrible news. So we looked and we looked and we looked, and she asked for my help, and we asked for her aunt and uncle's help, and everybody was helping. But we couldn't do it. We couldn't find them. And she said, Mom, do you think that this is something that I could pray to God for? I said, absolutely. So she did. She asked God for his help. And sometimes God answers right away, and sometimes he doesn't answer the way you want him to. So we weren't sure if we were going to find these or not. And we had to wait until the very last minute of the very last day that we were at this hotel. And she was very sad because we had not found them, and they were her friends. And so we went. We were getting ready to leave, and everybody was in the parking lot in their cars. And something, a little voice said to me, go check by the pool one more time. And I thought, okay, but I have checked by the pool so many times, but I will go. And I went, and I looked, and way down at the other end in a chair was a little red something, and one of her Beanie Babies was a little red dog. And I thought, wow, can this really be it? And I went and looked, and you know what? There they were. They were all there. And so I brought them to her in the car, and she was very, very happy. And she said, do you think it's a good idea that we would say thank you to God? I said, absolutely. He helped us. We weren't at home, and at first she kind of wondered, is God here too? Because she was little, and she didn't know. And we said, absolutely, he's everywhere. So when you need help, maybe it's a good idea to ask God. And sometimes he answers through Mom and Mom and Dad can help them. Right? That's what our story is about today, and that's what our sermon's going to be about today. Thank you. You were very good listeners. I think we behaved pretty good today, right? Yeah, you can go back.
Thank you, Ange, for the story. Prayer has a way of centering us. It gives us focus for our lives. It can also give to us a peace beyond our understanding in the midst of the questions, the complexities, and even the ambiguity of our lives. It helps to give us a perspective of our lives being part of something much bigger than ourselves, namely what God is up to in this world and in our lives. And it gives to us a perspective that we worship a God who is the Good Shepherd, who gently says to his sheep, "Let them come to me." So we come as individuals. We come also as a community of faith that joins together in praise and prayer to the God we worship, our Lord and Savior. We're not having a worship service here next Sunday, so I was in conversation with Nettie about this Sunday, and she was very excited and supportive of having a prayer circle for her upcoming surgery this Sunday, for her and her family, that we could do that this Sunday to support the family with these prayers of support and encouragement. I asked if she would give us some introduction to where things are at with whatever she wants to say as part of introduction. Then I'm going to ask her family to come and join us, and I'll ask others of you to come and join us as well. Nettie, would you come, please?
My journey has been full of ups and downs. It started with finding a lump, and later Kim is driving me to Boundary Trails for my very first mammogram. There it was supposed to be in and out in 10 minutes, but no, they did an ultrasound, and then the radiologist came to see me and said the lump looked cancerous. I asked if she was sure, and she said she had only been wrong twice. She told me to come in the next day for a biopsy, and then it was more waiting and waiting and waiting. And then on June 30th, while I was at work, Dave got a call that the biopsy was positive for cancer. We then met with our doctor, and he started us on the preliminary work, like the pre-op physical and blood work, and then some more waiting and waiting. And then we had a consult with our surgeon, Dr. Elizabeth Thompson, which was just this past Tuesday, and the surgery date to remove the lump has been set for August 3rd or 4th. And after the surgery, we are going to know more about what our treatment plan will be once we've met with an oncologist. If you have any questions, just come talk to me. I don't bite.
Thank you, Nettie. I'm going to ask your family to come and join you up here. I'm going to ask others of us, can we come and surround this family with our prayers, as we have done at other times? And I will close. To start at that end there, and we'll just work our mic the way work it through here, and when we're finished we'll pass it to myself and I will close in prayer. Let's bow to pray.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we want to think of Nettie and her family as she is going through this difficult period. We pray that you would comfort her, that she would feel your presence, that your love would shine down on her and her family, and that we as a community of believers in this church would continue to uphold her and remember her and support her and encourage her as she goes through this difficult period.
Lord, we ask for your peace that passes all understanding. May it guard their hearts, their minds, their bodies.
Lord, we ask that you be near them and that you comfort them and the family and allow them to feel your presence.
Father, we thank you that they know you, that each one in the family knows you. And we pray that your peace might overwhelm any lies of fear that they would hear. Speak your truth deeply into their hearts and minds.
Lord God, you are the great physician and the almighty healer. And we ask that you would work mightily in Nettie's life, in her body. We ask for the hands of the surgeon. We ask for all others that are involved that you would guide and direct them. Lord, I pray that your spirit would fill their home and their hearts, and that you would work in their lives as only you can, as you answer prayers, the prayers of the people around, and I pray that our church, our family, would continue to uphold them, that we would be faithful in carrying them up to you.
Lord, we thank you that we can come to you on all occasions. We thank you that you care so deeply and that you know all about Nettie, all about her fears, all about the difficulty. You know everything about us, and for that we thank you. And we also add our prayers for Dave, for each one of the family members. Father, we thank you for your love and concern. Amen.
Father, you're the great healer. And this is what we're asking of you, that you would heal Nettie. Thank you that, as has been said, you know everything that's happening in our minds and our thoughts. So for Nettie and each one in her family, you know. And so when they're afraid, would you fill their thoughts with you and your promises? And when they wonder what's next and are feeling at all empty, Father, would you fill their thoughts with thoughts of you, and that you will lead and you'll be there. There is no place that they're going where you are not. We thank you for your promises that's true, that you're going to walk this with them.
I want to give you thanks, God, this morning for the prayers of your people. Give you thanks that, as has been mentioned, you are the great healer. You are our good shepherd. You know us. You have searched us. You have gone on ahead, and you know the way. And so you bid us to follow and to trust. And we pray that trust would be real and concrete for Nettie and Dave and their family, that they would recognize, each in their own way, how it is that you lead us beside still waters. You renew our souls in times of great need. Thank you that, as a source, the well of your source does not run dry, and we can come again and again. May the Lord bless you and keep you today and always. Amen.
I am so thankful that we can lean on God when we're going through tough times. Please stand as we sing together the gospel song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to grow in this
Good morning. When I get to a Sunday morning that I'm preaching, I'm always a little surprised that there's actually a sermon that's ready to give to you. When I'm given the topic, it's always, yeah, that's great, awesome. And then as I start working on it, it's like, okay, what? Here's the psalm, but what now? But God is faithful, and God provides. And I want to thank you for all of those of you who faithfully pray, not only for me, but others who are up here preaching. Your prayers are significant, and God works, and I'm very grateful for that. Last time I was up here, I preached a little bit about, talked a little bit about the thread that runs through the Bible that comes, the thread of bread. That was last time. And as I looked at the passage for today, I started exploring a little bit, and I was surprised at how many threads there are through the Bible that talk about journeys and trips. And I'd like to give you a little bit of an opportunity. Think a little bit throughout your Sunday school passages. What kinds of journeys can you come up with just right off the top of the head? Threads of journeys throughout the Bible. What do you think of? Abraham? Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem? Israelites leaving Egypt? Jonah? Joseph? Elijah? Noah, a little different kind of a journey, yep. He took it on a boat. And the disciples at Emmaus, yes. There's one more in particular I'm looking for. There's a lot. Paul, Saul, on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. What about Jesus on the way to the cross? It was a journey of its own kind. So many. And again, I wonder, God does interesting things as he pulls things throughout the whole Bible. And again, I wonder, what does that all mean? Why does he use journeys in so many places? And the psalm that we're going to take a look at today is also one that is so fitting for a journey. We too are on a journey. And sometimes when I'm in a hard spot, I find it helpful to think of my time here on earth as a journey. It has less of a permanent feel to it. It's not about me then so much. It's not about my surroundings and where I'm at. It's a little bit more about relationships and experiences. It's about the people around me. And it becomes the end destination and my God who's waiting for me there, and he's helping me to get there. So when things are difficult, I know it won't stay that way. I will move on, it will end, and I'm not stuck here. When I go on a road trip, one of the things we like to pack, my girls and I, is we like to pack some form of music. It might be making sure the radio works, it might be CDs, it might be the girls' phones at this point, but something so that we can listen to music as we travel. Just this last week, Lisa and Hayden and Christina and I took a little trip into Winnipeg, and most of the way there, we listened to children's Bible songs. The girls have great memory of learning these songs in Sunday school and listening to them as kids in the car. These songs have been on repeat and were ingrained deeply in their minds. And now Hayden is learning to listen to them and learning about God's faithfulness in the form of songs. The Psalms we want to look at this morning include both of those ideas, the idea of a journey and the idea of music, a song. Tucked away towards the end of the book of Psalms is a group of 15 of them. They're grouped together under the heading Psalms of Ascents. If you have your Bible with you, take a moment to turn to Psalm 120. We're not going to stay here long. I just want to show you a couple things. Take a look at Psalm 120. It's the first of the book of Ascents, Songs of Ascent, and most likely just above where it says Psalm 120, it'll have a heading that says either Psalm of Ascent or Songs of Ascents, or some version of that. Depending on what your translation is, it's some version of that. If you look at 121, it'll have the same heading, as does 122, 123, all the way on to 134. Explore a little bit. I'll give you just a second to take a look. There's 15 of these psalms that fall into this group. They go from 120 all the way to 134. The Hebrew word used for ascents is ma'alo, and it means to go up. These psalms are an invitation to go up, to be closer to God. They're also a very direct translation to go up into the city of Zion in their journeys. So often, we are overworked, overstressed, underrested, all those things that bring us down, and God is inviting us to go up, to focus our eyes upward and come closer to Him. As you page through your Bible, and these psalms are interesting, you will notice that these psalms are interestingly short, with the exception of 132, which seems to have a special role in this spot, and I won't preach on that today, I'll leave that for someone else. Throughout these 15 songs, the names Jerusalem and Zion occur frequently, as does the name Israel and the house of the Lord. Several of these psalms seem to alternate between someone asking a question and then a larger group or someone else responding to that question. And we'll look at that a little bit more later. They reflect the concerns and interests of everyday life that might occupy the minds of the travelers. These songs were sung as the children of Israel traveled to Jerusalem for their annual festivals. All men were required to attend the feasts of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, three of them. So three times a year, they would set out on a journey toward Jerusalem to attend these festivals. As they traveled, they might have sang songs of encouragement, songs of questions and answers, songs of pleading and asking for protection from the very real everyday situations they encountered, songs of praise to God for deliverance. Not only were men required to attend these festivals, they had a deep desire to do so. God resided in Jerusalem, in the temple, at the altar. That is where Israel had communion with God. They had a deep longing for the house of the Lord. Psalm 84 describes this longing and this pilgrimage to Zion. We're going to take a brief look at Psalm 84. Turn again in your Bibles to Psalm 84. This psalm is a longing written by the psalmist who longs for the house of the Lord. The author is barred from access to God's house, possibly someone in exile, and he gives voice to his longing for the sweet nearness to God in the temple that he has known in the past. Let's take a look. Verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Another translation reads, how loved is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Wouldn't it be neat if we had that desire to be in God's house? My soul yearns, my even faints. And then verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near the altar. The psalmist here is expressing almost a jealousy of the small birds that have unhindered access to the temple and the altar. They're even able to build their nests for their young near the place where he would love to have communion with God. O Lord God Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Verse 5, blessed, or some of your translations will say happy, happy are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Sorry, verse 5. Happy are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. Verse 6. The valley of Baca, as I understand, is not an actual place. Baca speaks about a balsam tree which grows in many arid places. So it would be a valley of a desert. It would be a dry and not a lot of happening there except for these odd trees. As they pass through this valley of the desert, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. God's bounty overflows into the desert, and they go from strength to strength. So Psalm 84 is listed as a song of that expresses the desire that the children of Israel had to go to Jerusalem, this passage from one place to a next. We also can think of it in terms of our journey to our Zion. Do we have this deep desire to be in God's presence, a longing to journey to meet our God? Psalm 121 expresses that as we come closer to God. Verse 5 said, "Blessed is he whose heart is set on pilgrimage." What if we changed our perspective? What if we focused on being with God and our journey with him, not the situation that we're in right now, and not our physical surroundings right here? With these thoughts in our minds, these thoughts about journeys and singing, let's take a look at Psalm 121. I've asked Katrina and Kim to come up and read it for us. And as the girls get settled, I'm just going to tell you a couple things about it. There's several ways to read Psalm 121. We can think of all the pilgrims on the journey to Jerusalem, groups of men and women all traveling by foot, keeping each other company. In the midst of the group is a nervous traveler. He is aware that as they travel, they might encounter steep paths, ravines, and hiding places of wild animals and robbers. Someone unsure, wondering how things will turn out and what will happen. Who will help him if something goes wrong? And he dares to ask the question, reminding himself that the Lord is here to help. A friend walking beside him understands his concerns and chimes in many more examples of how God will help. Encouragement for his friend to not lose heart. They are safe and they will be protected. On the other hand, a nervous traveler might have asked this first question just before leaving home, in anticipation of what might have come along on the trip. And an elderly parent who is not able to go along on the journey may have given the response. There is a significant shift, and if it's in your printed in your bulletin, Christina will also put it up here, but there's a significant shift in the verses between verse 1 and 2 and verse 3. This is not unusual in the Psalms, and some scholars believe this to suggest that it was used as a litany. In this context, a traveler speaks the first two verses, and the priest responds with the remaining verses. Whichever way you read it, the content is the same. Girls, please.
I lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, not the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you. The traveler in these verses begins by lifting his eyes to the hills in the distance and wondering, maybe fearing what's on the other side of those hills. He anticipates a long, arduous journey like the rest of us. He wishes he could arrive in the blink of an eye rather than feel the effects of life on the road. He reminds himself that the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, will be his help. This phrase, the maker of heaven and earth, occurs in the Hebrew Bible only 5 times. 3 of those are within the Psalms of Ascents, Psalm 121 verse 2, 124 verse 8, and 134 verse 3. Isn't it assuring to know that the one true God, the King of creation, he made heaven and earth, he is our help. Our Creator God is not dormant. but continues to act. He is forever the living God. The living power of God continues to operate and is constantly creative. The past and the present are welded together, which gives us hope as we trust him. The Lord's power to help is unlimited by anything that is. We can depend on the sovereign of the universe for help and blessing. This assurance gives us courage to undertake whatever journey lies before us. Verse 3 and 4 remind us that unlike the god Baal, our God does not sleep. Elijah in 1 Kings 18:27 taunts the prophets of Baal, suggesting their God might be sleeping, so they should shout louder. Try and wake him up so he can help you. Our God does not sleep, nor doze off. He is our attentive keeper, always alert. Verse 5 is the heart of this psalm. The center point for the entire psalm is the line, "The Lord is your keeper," or another translation says, "Yahweh is your protector." The Hebrew word used here is shamar. It means to protect, to keep, to guard, to preserve, and watch. I'm going to read those words again. Protect, keep, guard, preserve, watch. They all have a very similar kind of meaning. Many of our English translations use all of those different words to make the reading easier and less repetitive. The psalmist who penned this song was not as interested in the varieties of words to keep the singer engaged. He actually used the same word to hammer the point over and over again, repeating it until we got it. The Lord is your protector. Let's take a look at verse 7 and 8, and let's replace the verb there with the word protect. This will better reflect the original Hebrew word shamar. The Lord will protect you from evil. He will protect your soul. The Lord will protect your going out and your coming in from now on and forever. Back to verse 6 for a moment. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. We all understand what it means to have a threat by sun. But do you find it curious that the sun will not strike you by day, the moon by night? Like, what harm is the moon going to do to me at night? I wondered about that. Traveling in the semi-desert terrain all around Jerusalem with the blazing sun, the threat of heat stroke must have been very real. That makes sense to us. The moon? In the message, it says, God is your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. What's that? In the ancient world, it was believed that the moon was associated with lunacy, also called moonstroke. It was believed that seizures were caused by long or intense exposure to haunting effects of the moon. In fact, moonstruck is the literal translation of the word seizures that is used in both Matthew 4:24 and Matthew 17:15. Matthew 15:17 reads like this, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic." He's been moonstruck. Even the words lunar and lunatic have a similar root word. Crazy thought, isn't it? Being exposed to the moon will give you seizures? But are we really different in our beliefs? Ask any new mom about all the helpful advice she's given with a new baby by well-meaning friends. Helpful advice that sometimes seems almost superstitious and without reason. Lisa recently commented about how she dresses Hayden. Since his birth, she has enjoyed dressing him in tiny little pants and shirts of various kinds. Very infrequently is he dressed in sleepers or wrapped up in a blanket, and it seems odd to me. Shouldn't a baby be wrapped in a blanket? People around her comment on how he must feel cold or be uncomfortable. Is he really? He's totally dressed and warm, and he doesn't seem to be any worse for wear. My brother Frank and his wife Chris have two chocolate brown children and two white chocolate children. Samuel was gifted to them while they were working in Bolivia during the time that our family was there as well. I had the privilege of delivering their firstborn son to them when he was just 12 hours old. Without a lot of warning and preparation time, they were often very unsure about how to care for and raise a son, especially in this new culture. Their Bolivian friends and neighbors saw it as their duty to help and give advice, and they received a lot of advice. On one occasion, they were attending a community event towards evening when several neighbors actually asked Chris to take the baby home. Chris didn't understand and questioned them about what was going on. She was told that Samuel would be very sick the next day if she stayed out at night and the dew would fall on his head. When Chris didn't go home, they insisted that at least she wrap up his head so the dew wouldn't land on it. Samuel's 16 now, and it seems that it isn't only the ancient world that believes in being moonstruck. Our God will protect us when the sun is hot, as well as when our superstitions mislead us. He will protect us both night and day and any time in between. Verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. It strikes me today as an encouragement that my God watches my coming and my going as well. He is watching me from both perspectives, before and behind me. He is making sure to protect me so I don't trip and fall backwards, as well as stumble and fall forwards. We often pray for our times of transitions. When we're moving from something that's comfortable to something new, we pray about the newness. We pray about what's coming. We pray ahead. But God is watching us going as well. I don't know what my future holds. I don't know when my end will come. But even as I come to the end of my life, my God will protect and guard my going forevermore. Like so many biblical characters, we are on a journey to God, and Psalm 121 is a wonderful song for our journey. The maker of heaven and earth watches over every aspect of our life. He protects you from all harm. And that means you do not need to worry or be afraid of anything. Nothing can happen to you without God's knowledge. Nothing can harm you under his protective care. Even the worst things that can happen to you, illness, loss, or even death, all of these things take place under God's providential care. God is for you, not against you. He is committed to your good, and you can trust him in all things. So take comfort in this. Deliberately and diligently learn to trust God in all things and to look for the good in the details of your life. God cares for you. He will provide for you. He is there to help you. Verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. To end today, I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you to stand and read with me Psalm 121 to just get it stuck in our heads. Please rise. It is in your bulletin if you prefer to have it in front of you. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And then I'm going to ask you to respond by reading verses 3 to the end. Read them to each other. Know that the people around you are speaking truth to you, reminding you of the care and protection of the God who made heaven and earth. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Amen. You may be seated.
Let's conclude our service this morning by singing our hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Please stand.
Please bow with me. Lord God, great creator and maker of heaven and earth, thank you for this psalm, this invitation to come another step closer to you as we focus our eyes on you. Father, we ask that you continue to be our great protector, our keeper in all of our journeys. Continue to watch over us and to send reminders that we are not alone on this trip. You are here with us, and for that, we also are grateful. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.